Get your shit together. Quit being assholes.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
And I'm Ian Boothby.
And joining us today on the show, we have a special guest. It's Emerald City. We're down in Seattle for Emerald City. And so naturally, our third annual appearance by Branwyn Biggleston. We're so happy that she was able to join us. Branwyn works for Image Comics. She is, I don't know what you call yourself there.
You want my actual title?
No, not actual titles. I'm thinking
and your social insurance.
You were now. you were like a cool person emeritus there. You're just like you
that's kinda, my actual
title. Yeah, that's your actual title. Oh, yeah. That was your actual title. Yeah. I should have let you just say that. I'm sorry. And also you are an editor there.
Well, I do freelance editing.
You do freelance editing.
I'm not employed by Image Comics as an editor.
But the comics that you edit are published by Image Comics. Is that not correct?
By a wild and crazy coincidence.
By a wild and crazy coincidence. Because you are a cool person emeritus at
Stop
Image,
saying the
somehow.
Word emeritus.
Why?
Just stop it.
Sounds like a disease.
Because you know I have emeritus, Dave. And I've used the ointment and it's not clearing up.
I could be saying it wrong anyway. It's one of those words that you read but never pronounce. Which is why,
especially if you don't have friends to talk to.
Yeah, exactly. That's a problem I have.
Like Leviathan, like that thing, whatever that is.
So that's right. Or like me, I said NUI for about 20 years until a friend one day said, "You know, it's pronounced ennui, right?" And I just said gasp, and then turned red and white. And
I thought that an Island was a tiny island.
No, Island is peace.
What? I don't know. What?
Forget it. Anyway, how's everyone doing?
It's a different pronunciation of Iceland.
Some of you got that one, right? Okay, we're cool. We're cool. We'll talk about it on the message board. Anyway, so this is a new visit from Branwyn. This is not a rerun.
This is not a rerun. We're everyone, not, this
are
is
you
fresh.
Sure?
This is, I don't know.
All right, listen.
We'll see how the show goes.
Is there anything that we can say to let people know this is 2014?
You just said it.
Oh, that's... Well, no, yeah. I could be in the past saying it's 2014.
All I can think of are horrible things that have happened this year.
That is true. Okay. any good things? The new Captain America movie's coming up. Wait, that could be a couple of years ago, too.
Yeah.
Because there was a Captain America movie then. Oh, yeah. For crying out loud. Now,
don't worry about it.
We have no idea. We're lost in time.
Oh, I know. Oh. The Warriors actually beat Memphis last night. At home in Oakland. It's the first time.
But couldn't
in
that happen?
Years.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And that was with two of their starters out, David Lee, and Bogut got hit in the nuts so hard he was out for the rest of the game.
I feel his pain. It happened to me one time. A couple times, actually.
Yeah.
During the podcast.
You missed the NBA game.
I was playing softball or baseball at school. This happened in school in front of all the kids I was in school with, and I was in the outfield and a ball was hit towards me and I was ready to catch it. I didn't have a glove, so I was just going to catch it with my bare hands. And at the last moment, I chickened out and moved my hands and it hit me right in the nuts.
Now, did you catch...
That was much better.
Did you catch it with your crotch?
No, I don't think I maybe I did. But
his nuts gently enveloped. I was,
that's right. Yeah, that's right. I'm going like, but then you really had to work it like a mitt for a while. It was too tough at first. But
my ball
sack after a couple of months, you really like get a good.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then, but the problem was, I was laying on the ground, curled up in fetal position, so really unable to return the ball.
They call him Dave Mitt Dedrick.
Dave, the human Mitt.
That'd be terrible if you actually did catch it like that, and they're like, now every time you've got to. Just for the game, Dave.
Just for the game.
I do feel slightly awkward talking about your nuts with your daughter in the room.
No.
Okay.
I'm a dad. It's all right.
Yeah, we are doing this. We'll set the scene. We're at the W Hotel in Seattle, which is the sexiest hotel there is.
Boom, chicka,
and
wow.
So Dave was staying here with his wife and two daughters, Millis and Phyllis.
Yeah.
And one of those two remains now.
Yes.
There's been an elimination family thing. That's what Dave does on his vacations. He can't afford to bring the whole family to the whole vacation. Yeah. So every day there's a challenge, and then you work your way down. So the final contestant is now Phyllis.
I thought you were going to say it was an Agatha Christie kind of thing, and I was murdering, or someone was murdering us off. We don't know who. We're still trying to solve it.
Mm-hmm.
I found Lisa yesterday. A stone plinth had fallen on her that was down in the lobby. It's a terrible thing to find. So, yeah.
Other podcasts use the word plinth?
There's a Belgian inspector came to try to help us solve the case. And there's a little lady, a kind of nosy lady that was trying to help out too, this British lady. So,
that's weird that they both showed up.
I know, it's strange. It seems odd.
Ms. Marple and Poirot?
Poirot.
Poirot.
Poirot?
Croissant.
Croissant.
That's right.
They never met, right? They're a different
universes. I think they're different universes.
And the murderverses, they're different?
Yeah, okay. In the different murderverses.
Is it right. A multiverse?
Well, this is what I wonder.
The Agatha Christie multiverse?
Well, I got to assume with Miss Marple. You know what?
I assume that it's the same verse. It's just that there's no reason for them to meet.
Well, there's so much.
There's enough crime to go around.
Okay, but she was like a little old lady living in a small British town. She, besides going on the Nile for a trip, I don't think she got out of England too much. Like, there's not like
she
just murder in Venice.
She wasn't on the Nile.
Was that Poirot?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, so there, well, then you've just been edited. I've just been edited. And,
but let me ask you, sorry.
I think my case was even more proven that, you know, she just does not get around. So.
But how many murders could there have been back then? And if an old lady is solving all of them,
so
that's going to get in the
press.
Murders
she wrote now?
So well, okay, well, then, you know. I mean, but I think there's less murders then. There must have been. There's less people.
Why?
In England.
No, you could get away with it more.
But it was all like the gentry. It was like all high society murders,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, too. No, poor people never killed each other.
Right, so it was like,
that was
there
impossible.
Must have been like just like two rich people, by the end of Miss Marple's life, yeah. There must have been two rich people left alive.
It's just like in David's family.
That's right, two people left alive. The thing is that, you know, poor people were killed. It's just no one cared enough to have a little old lady come
so
and
that's all those
around.
Mysteries is like, yeah. You know, this beggar was killed. And that's like a two-page mystery.
He's got a knife in his back. Yeah, I think he was killed by a knife.
Hey, free knife.
They arrest the knife. They arrest and charge the knife with murder, and that's the end of it. Good enough. Case closed.
You're going away for a long time in this drawer, buddy.
That's right. That's right. I've solved all the murders. You know, I think that you should call, instead of calling yourself an editor, I think that you should try to revive the word editrix and call yourself an editrix.
Editrix?
Yeah. Because...
Like in the Harry Potter universe?
As a word... In the Harry Potter universe?
It sounds like Editrix is a character Harry would have
people
to fight.
People always say that Bramwyn Bigglestone sounds like she's from Harry Potter anyway.
Yeah,
you
there
do.
You go.
Your name does sound that, or it sounds Marvel or late 60s, early 70s, when they'd run out of the simpler names, but they still wanted the alliteration and the coolness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you would be a roommate of, like, Ms. Marvel, I would think.
Okay.
Yeah, you would be her roommate. And occasionally, like, the Scorpion would bust in and kidnap you, but you'd get the better of him at first, but then you'd get kidnapped, and then she'd have to save you. But you get, like, one good shot in first.
I think I would move if I kept getting kidnapped.
You'd think J. Jonah Jameson would do that.
Yeah.
And he keeps his office in the same area of the where everyone grabs him.
That's
and just
why
takes
he's
him
so
out.
Angry.
He has his desk. Mm-hmm. He has his desk right by an open window as well. Like,
yeah, one.
Move
don't
your desk.
Leave your window open.
Yeah. Move your desk around so that you're looking out the window rather than your back's to it.
Yeah, two. Ditch the Hitler mustache. Come on now.
That seems kind of odd.
Yeah.
Because I think that Hitler killed that mustache. Like, before that, Charlie,
well, that's what Hitler was known for killing. Is like the,
that was the greatest tragedy of all. The death of that mustache.
Well, Charlie,
he was coming after the handlebar next. And America went, no, sir. No, sir. We are stepping
in, coming
sir.
Into the war. We've heard rumors. They had that whole handlebar mustache plant in Norway. And the Americans went right in there. And you'd have seen Force 10 from Navarone. Didn't they go in and shut down that whole handlebar mustache factory?
Mm-hmm.
Or that was The Eagle Has Landed. I can't remember.
And that's why young people today can have full, rich beards.
That's right. That's
because of America.
Because of
that's
America.
Right. They have to go to the veterans and go, thank you, sir.
You're
and,
welcome.
Would you like to touch my beard? And the veterans go, I would. And they give it a lovely stroke of the beard and they go, it was all worthwhile.
I was thinking about that this morning, actually.
You were not.
About
I was
thinking about beards.
Stroking
no beards.
A young man's beard.
I was thinking about beards. I was thinking about beards because I remember being at this concert in the mid-2000s. I went to an Akron family concert, Akron-Colin family concert. And all these guys, all these young men were coming in, and they had full beards. And it was the first time, like I remarked about it to Lisa because it was the first time I noticed a congregation of bearded young men. Like, it just was... So I felt like, I said, well, this is the beginning of a trend. Like, I'm going to start seeing this all the time now. There's going to be more and more beardy guys walking around. And
you got your finger on the pulse.
I was right on the right on the money with that one. I didn't grow a beard. I should have grew a beard. Is that the correct?
Let's ask.
That is correct. Yes.
Yeah, that is correct. Grew
with an apostrophe between the W and the D.
I should have grew apostrophed a beard, and I would have been right ahead of it. If I did it now, I just would feel like I was, you know. The tide has already crested. I'm just, you know, laying on the seabed with all the scum and the.
Here's what you do: you get some sort of medical ailment where you have to take blood thinners, and then you can't shave.
Oh,
I like it.
I had chemo. Yeah. When I went through chemo, it was like, you know, if you want a silver lining to a cloud.
You always got
to
bring up the cancer.
That's right.
Jesus Christ.
The silver
People
lining.
People aren't finding it funny. They didn't find it funny the first time.
My parents laughed. The first. the simple answer was I didn't have to shave. Like not for 6 months. I didn't have to put razor to face. It was awesome. Or my legs. And it was just awesome that, you know, because I don't like shaving.
I just gave Landry what he termed a biggle tip yesterday.
Okay.
Now, who is this Landry fellow?
Landry Walker. He writes Danger Club, one of the books that
By the way, let's do that plug right now. What books do you edit? Let's throw that out there.
Danger Club, which is very late right now, but they're working furiously right
now. But new to you if you haven't read it yet.
It's amazing.
Written by Landry Walker, drawn by Eric Jones.
It's got the graphical violence in it.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
It's good.
And you have nobody knows what's coming. Nobody knows. Except the
not
people,
even that people writing it.
And drawing it,
they
of
use,
course.
They use the I Ching to write.
People are really going to be surprised when when the next couple of issues come out.
When they finally come out.
When they finally come
out. They're going to be surprised that they're out.
Yes. That's the surprise.
And there's
twist.
A random piece of luncheon meat in every comic, which I think is really going to surprise you.
And the other one you edit is?
G-Man.
G-Man. Oh, okay.
By Christian Russo.
Less graphical violence in that one.
Yeah. That's... And I edited Alpha Girl, which is over. It was a limited series.
Oh, okay. Cool. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So,
you got fired from that one.
Yes, I got fired. It was very embarrassing.
You're given the pink slip.
Yes.
Well, you're at Editrix. You get a pink slip.
All right. I'm bringing it back to the story, though. This is what I do. So you said Landry, there was a tip.
A bald woman walked by, and he was saying that he's never sure if it's appropriate to compliment a woman on looking, you know, oh, you look great bald or something. You know, because sometimes they look great bald.
Yeah.
But he's not sure if it's because of chemo. And I said, well, look for eyebrows.
That's it.
And he said that there should be a whole Twitter handle of Biggle Tips. And I said, yes, and everyone would hate me because I'm making light of cancer.
You're not. That's good advice. Like something that I honestly say because someone did this once in front of me, which was a person was complimenting someone on their Professor X cosplay at a con.
Yeah.
And it was clear they were not. They were just in a wheelchair and were going through something that made their hair go out. Yeah. But like, when you're, you know... To be fair, that's not the worst thing to hear, I suppose, when you're going through that, is, hey, you look like this superhero. That's nice.
What's embarrassing about chemo when you lose your hair is it's also a side effect of the cure for anal warts. So you never know if it's chemo, if you're going through cancer, or if it's anal warts.
Which is why you got to wear the badge.
That's why.
It's not anal warts.
Okay, I think I've figured this out. This is why you keep bringing up cancer.
Yes.
Because you want us to believe it was cancer and not anal warts.
I'm trying to make that very clear to people.
Okay. Wow, that was a long con.
It's taking a while. I like a long payoff to a gag.
Sure.
Yeah.
It wasn't cancer, everyone.
God, did I ever have to starve myself during that time? So I looked cadaverous.
But... you can eat now, and we all had a delightful breakfast.
We did.
At the second choice of restaurant that we wanted to eat at.
That's right. Well, I phoned this morning at about 7:30. I called them for make
Tried
a reservation.
To call this restaurant called Lola's here.
Yeah, to make a reservation for 6, and they're like...
They started laughing.
They're like, nope, not at all. Forget about it. They said maybe if you did a walk-in. I was kind of like, yeah, but that's 6 of us doing a walk-in. That's hard to predict what you're going to get, you know. Like, we could have maybe sat at the breakfast bar. But, you know, interspersed between other people. That's chummy. I made a reservation across the street. And it was good.
Yes.
You have to admit, it wasn't a disaster.
Dahlia's Lounge.
What was it called? Delilah's?
Dahlia's Lounge.
Dahlia's Lounge.
They're both run by the same chef. There's a guy here in Seattle named Tom Douglas, and I think he owns 3 or 4
restaurants. So he has to run back and forth across the street all the time to cook like some eggs and then right back across?
And the nice thing about
that... No, it's just there's pneumatic tubes that go in between.
He just jumps into a little capsule and... And the nice thing about the Dahlia is it has a bakery attached to it. And so the bread, which we've had a complaint about... But I'm not sure that person isn't mixing it up with another restaurant. I didn't want to say that one.
Yeah, I think she was getting the restaurant wrong as well. Yeah. I remember that incident, and it was a different restaurant.
Yeah.
The one thing I remember, though, about this place we were, and then I double-checked and was like, you want some donuts? Oh, a donut would be good. That it's $10 for a donut.
Wow. Well, you get a bag of them.
Oh, you get a bag of donuts.
You get a bag of donuts, and then you get jam and mascarpone cheese with it.
Oh, okay.
And so it's pretty, and they're hot. They come to your table hot, and so when you put on the mascarpone cheese, it melts onto the
donut. I would totally pay $10 for that.
All right, I stand corrected.
They're really good. And the other really good thing they serve there is in dessert is they have a coconut cream pie. And why I love that is because it has shavings of white chocolate on the top. It's very good. It's very nice. So, and I'm not a huge coconut cream pie fan.
You're a huge shavings fan.
I'm a huge fan
wood of chips, shavings. Anything wood chips, anything you put on.
My face.
Actually, whiskers, yep.
Yeah, I like.
Well, it's a good thing that we can't eat any of that right now.
I know. Well, that we should bring that up too, because although by the time this show airs, your campaign for the kitties will be over. You are.
Oh, let me explain about that.
Yeah, so Branwyn right now is on a sugar fast, like me. As you pointed out, I'm doing it for God, because God has commanded me to not eat sugar. He told me, he sent me a telegram. It was a telegram. It was weird. It said, Dave, stop eating sugar. Stop. God. And
you have consumed 15 cubits of sugar last
right.
month.
That's right.
I say to thee, gather ye vegetables.
Gather ye vegetables while ye may.
Two by two.
2 by 2. And so, unlike me, Branwyn is on a sugar fast for charity, for a great charity in San Francisco called At the Crossroads.
So mine is actually more Jesus-like than yours.
Well, I would disagree, but okay.
It's the organization is called At the Crossroads, and if your loyal listeners, who I'm sure have listened to every episode previous to this, know I've done this before.
Yes,
you have. My third year doing this. I give up sweets for all of March, mm-hmm. and the organization does outreach to, I think, people up to age 25.
Oh, okay.
And you know, just provide assistance anywhere from housing
sure.
to helping get enrolled in school to remembering their birthday and giving them a present.
Wow, that's great.
On their birthday.
That's great, because those little touches are what really
yeah.
make a difference, I think, in a charity, you know?
Yeah.
It's one thing, I mean, obviously they're going to appreciate those bigger things later.
Yeah.
The school and stuff like that, that appreciation will come later, but that birthday thing, that's the most important
personal part of it. Yeah, it's treat me like a person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a really vital part of it. At the church where I go, we do a weekly thing called Garden to Table, and that's, we have a dinner for people who can't afford to eat, and they can come to church. But it's not a soup kitchen. We eat together. We eat as a community.
Yeah.
Everyone's sitting together, the people who cook and the people who come, we all eat together in a community. And there's a real, and then everyone washes dishes after.
Yeah.
And you have a real sense of a community, of a group of people that are all together, all, you know, and that's important,
that's fantastic.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause then they're people. They're not just a case.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's one thing to take a case and have them go to school, cause then you can cross that off your case file. But it's another thing to, you know, recognize a person as a person. That's fantastic. So yeah, that's what you, when you told me that, it made me, that made it my favorite thing I've heard today. So
sweet. Yeah. Well, there's a video on their website where it's kind of like a little mini documentary about what they do. And so I encourage people to go to that. It's at the crossroads.org.
Yeah.
As I recall.
Yeah. I would say that Dave will put that up on our website, but yes, I can't tell you what he'll do.
And I'm sure they'll accept donations after March 31st.
Sure,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course they would.
I also encourage people to donate to Homeless Youth Alliance, which lost their space last year. My friend Mary Howe started it. And there's a lot going on in San Francisco with gentrification mm-hmm. and rents are insane.
Every city is facing that.
But
now.
Specifically, yes. San Francisco is especially, Vancouver as well.
There have been a lot of protests. Yeah. They call them the Google buses. You know, the free buses that are provided by these companies to get workers to the job site.
Okay.
And there have been a couple of incidents where people have blocked the buses in protest, and Twitter is in downtown San Francisco now. And anyway. Homeless Youth Alliance lost their space last year. They had to close their doors on Christmas. And so it's getting harder to do outreach there. You know, the problem of homelessness has not been eliminated, of course.
Of course.
But resources are shrinking.
Terrible. Terrible. Come on, people. Get it together.
Okay, get your shit together. Quit being assholes.
Wouldn't it be amazing if they did this week after listening to this, and this was just what it took?
the final step. Why, these three goofs are right.
Something happens. A lightning bolt actually hits a computer, and then our thing goes out to everybody, and they all listen to it. First of all, anal warts. And then they keep listening. And
we do a public service here in more ways than one.
Yeah. I like that we lead with that before the important stuff.
People have to know these things.
Yeah, we have to drive away a good portion of the audience, and then now let's sit down and have a...
Is that drive them away, or is that drawing them
in? I think that's drawing them in, Ian.
Anal warts draws people in. You're absolutely correct.
I think you've misread our audience. Really?
Maybe I have.
Because I did a SurveyMonkey thing I sent out to all our audience, to all our listeners.
Okay, what is SurveyMonkey?
It's a monkey that goes to everyone's house.
Yeah, everyone's house. It wears a pink coat. I think it was the IKEA monkey originally. Now it's a SurveyMonkey.
Oh, I'm glad he's got a job.
He's got a job, yeah. You know, got to do something. Can't just live in IKEA for free.
Well, that's my charity, is I find monkeys and I train them for jobs they're not appropriate for. So one I've trained to be a priest.
Okay.
He takes confession, slide the thing out, and it's just this howler monkey on the other side. And he just like scares the sin right out of you.
That's good. At least this is not a feces hurling monkey. That would be...
Well, it'd be tough to get it through that grid.
Yeah, you don't want to take communion from that monkey.
Not that monkey. No, you don't
take his shit.
Don't know what you're getting. Ian's laughing at his own joke.
I am. I'm just thinking about monkey Jesus now.
Works fine.
You know what? He got away.
Why?
He was just faster.
No,
he wouldn't catch
him. No. The way they caught him is they put some nuts in a bowl, and he just got his hand trapped in, and he wouldn't let go.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't let go. That was the end of monkey Jesus.
And they had both him and this other gorilla called Bananas.
Yeah.
Like, vote for whoever you wanted. Bananas. Like that guy. Because you see, Branwyn, there was a fellow named Barabbas, and he went up against it. Anyway, it was kind of the reality show of the day.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like The Bachelor, but they had Christ, and they had Barabbas. Yeah. And it was like, who are you voting for? And everyone was like, I really like that Christ. Oh, they voted for Barabbas. Oh, this stinks.
Yeah. Branwyn grew up in a family that was more about sword and sorcery. And, yep. You know, so really the Bible has no meaning for her.
None
at all. Well, not even like a dentist office meaning.
Now you're well, let me ask you this. Like, your family has a game store.
Yeah.
Which is Games of
Berkeley.
That's games the other thing Berkeley. We forgot to mention, actually, is that Branwood has joined the bourgeois. She is now a shop owner.
Yeah.
She's now part of the shop.
Are you part of that shop, or is it a rival shop? In that?
Okay. No.
Yeah, she opened her own, the Berkeley of Games.
And my brother and I are taking over the family business. Our parents are retiring.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. And my brother is the general manager of the store.
Well, they split ownership with a 10-sided die. They just rolled it. Branwyn has 30%, and her brother has 70%.
Well,
it's the way it rolls.
I'm the silent partner.
Okay.
Which means that every so often, out of nowhere, I'll say, before you do that, talk to me first.
Well, who was that? That was a silent partner. I didn't even see her there.
Do you feel like, as someone who has an important business position at Image, that you can take what you learn at Image and apply it to the store?
Well, one thing...
Like in terms of strategy and things. I'm not talking in terms of like day-to-day buying of product and stuff, but...
Right. No, I've... Most of the times when I've said, before you do that, talk to me first, it's been, I'll see on my brother's schedule that he has a meeting with a particular company that we had bad dealings with.
Okay.
You know, don't go with that payroll company you know, don't go with that... You know, ISP provider or whatever. You
sure,
know?
Sure. I understand.
There's a lot of that. I have very strong opinions when it comes to.
Oh, I heard about your opinions of Tabasco sauce today.
Yeah.
She does not like Tabasco sauce.
Not good.
Or sweet tea, or as we know it in Canada, iced tea. Nope. We don't have the alternative there.
Now, my original question, though, leading to this was, are there any, because I've seen some of these, are there any Bible based like games that you sell at your store?
I don't know.
It just seems like, well, don't know. You're a damn business owner now. You can't half-ass it like that. It's a market.
I don't work at the store.
But you, like, you're now running it, right? Like, owning it?
I own it, but my brother's running it. He does all the work.
Yeah. Okay. So you don't go in and, like, see what games
are
around?
And then I kick back and
like
every so
cat.
Often say, you know, like I'll go to the store meetings and then I'll whisper something in his ear. And
sounds creepy.
I think, I'm gonna make everyone else nervous. I'm gonna lean over and whisper something in my brother's ear, and
does he call
and
you
tell him to look stern as I'm telling him?
Oh, that's good.
And shake his head or something, you know. And
does he call you his consigliere?
No, but he should.
He's like Tom Hagen.
Yeah.
From Godfather. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you've seen that movie, have you?
I saw it on a plane.
Oh, okay. That's the best place to watch a movie.
Yeah. But
I'm going to counter Dave with that. So it is because you don't not watch it. Okay. You're not on the phone as well, and you're not doing the other thing. You've got total focus, which is why you always cry at the end of movies on a plane. Because you're like, I'm actually watching this thing. But sorry, back to you.
I was just going to say, you know, it's the nerd dynasty.
Continues.
It continues. And the name of our company, the corporation, is the Evil Empire Incorporated.
Nice.
And then I think when you guys are sick of it, you bring a bunch of children in, Willy Wonka style, and give them a series of tests.
Yeah. With swords. And
that's, yeah. That's right. Yeah, real
tests. Have you guys seen Willy Wonka? Because it's not... They do get killed. Yeah. I'm not saying they don't. The
horrible
children do,
like, things happen. Oh, I know. And they say, Wonka.
Well, that's one thing.
The horrible things happen. They don't get killed, though.
That's why I love it.
Okay,
they don't get killed.
I'm talking. What, we got two movies. We got one your Gene Wilder, one your Johnny Depp. Depp movie.
I tend to go by the book.
Johnny Depp movie. You see them at the end, and they're all mutant freaks and up to form the X-Men.
Yeah.
But in the first one, they're just like, all those children were released safely. Were they? And it seems like they're giving him the keys to the murder palace.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's your problem now, Jack. So long.
Yeah.
I will go back to the original source material, which describes the characters as coming out of the factory, purple and stretched out as they might be.
In the book, are the kids like now maimed forever?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Wow. Roald Dahl, guys.
No, I know.
Parents die.
No, that's the thing. That's why
peaches get eaten.
Dahl will kill a kid in a heartbeat. Like, he doesn't care, is why, you know, I always suspected kids didn't make it. Like, I just think, you know, when you're saying, like, the kids come out of it.
I read such a sad thing about him, but I'll let you care.
Okay, but let me just say this first. Is like, you know, when you're saying, like, oh, the kids came out. Are you sure they weren't just Oompa Loompas, like, dressed as the kids? And just like, this is what they look like now?
Sure.
And just like the Oompa Loompas, that's the only way they get their freedom and getting into society is now they're adopted into a family. And then by the time the family learns, it's too late.
It's too late. Well, you've already have an Oompa Loompa. The clue is they're always walking around singing.
Do they sing in the book?
Yes.
Okay.
There's lots of because Dahl had lots of like rhymes in his book. When I was a young lad, like probably grade 3.
It could have just been slam poetry. You don't know if it was.
It was absolutely totally slam poetry. And I memorized all the poems in James and the Giant Peach, and I could recite them at will to any parent that was interested in me reciting the poems from James and the Giant Peach.
Well, that's what back in the day, adults would point to a child and go,
recite.
Well, yeah, recite. Yeah,
recite. And then if you had to recite something, Psalm 32, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me, you know, so then he just...
Now, I'll just Google it. I don't have to remember shit.
Yeah, I know, that's a thing.
Not anymore. But you just picked up your phone you said that. Just like, that's something more interesting. Yeah, I'm tired of this podcast. Just listen to another one.
Game over,
I'm just saying, you can just Google everything on your phone. Nobody has to remember anything ever again until the internet goes out and then we're all lost.
Well, there is a thing with married couples where, you know, you remember something and your spouse remembers the other things. And then when one of them passes, it's very difficult because, you know, you never learned how to do the books or you don't know how to shop for groceries. You just split your tasks and you have basically what they call like a split brain. You know, you're the unified group, but you split brain. I'm thinking like we're that now with the internet, you know, so if the internet goes out, we'll be a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially you guys. I'll be fine. I'll be good. I'm not hooked on it like you nerds.
Yeah. Well, actually, for this Lent, I was kind of thinking about doing a social, like a social network or whatever you call those things.
Social media?
Social media, yeah. Just not doing that for Lent instead of sugar this year. But then I thought about it. I thought, you know what? I would hardly miss it, to be honest with you. There's days on end where I don't bother posting or even... I do look at Facebook, but there's days on end where I don't post
anything.
Don't
you kind of need it for promoting the podcast?
For what good it does.
Because you guys are masters of promotion.
We are?
And marketing.
We are?
No.
That's what sense my shot.
You've been brand burned.
Brand burned,
thought the Canadians were supposed to know sarcasm. We covered this at breakfast.
Well, I am as nice. I am, you know, I'm an American. I want to remind you of that.
Your story was different at breakfast when you were saying, I'm Canadian, it's sarcasm.
I go back and forth.
I'm Canadian, I want pancakes, wham, wham, wham. And they finally brought you some pancakes in the shape of your favorite provinces.
That's right. They forgot Saskatchewan, though. Where's the Keystone province?
I know, it's the easiest one to make.
The story about Roald Dahl that I read a little while ago was his daughter got measles when she was a little girl. And he describes, you know, her being sick in bed and she got over the measles, and then he was with her, and he was showing her, they were making animals out of little, pipe cleaners. Mm-hmm. And so they were doing it together, and then she was having trouble. She was fumbling, and it was, her hands were moving even slower and slower, and she's like, I feel really tired. And, like, 2 days later, she was dead. And she'd got this disease that you get from measles.
From pipe cleaners?
Not from pipe cleaners, from measles. And I can't remember the name of it, but it's just like a side effect that affects some people that get it. And
does it exist to this day?
Yeah.
Get vaccinated, everybody.
Yeah, and that was what he was talking about. Like, his thing was like a plea for vaccination. He said now, you know, he was writing in 86. He said, now we have measles vaccinations that can prevent these kind of things from happening. But there is a terrifying map that's available if you go online And it shows incidences of measles outbreaks and whooping cough and things like that. I think rubella, whooping cough, same thing. And whooping cough, it sounds like the most hilarious name on earth, but it's actually really a dangerous illness. Yeah. And of course, same with measles. And mumps, you know, mumps can lead to they're having to get your testicles removed if you're a man, because you can get an infection in there. And so it just, like, so there's all these outbreaks, and you're just like, this is preventable. These are all in Western, you know, you can understand in Africa where there's a problem with, you know, getting vaccines there and stuff like that. I mean, people are obviously trying to make it better, but that still exists there. But there's no excuse for outbreaks of whooping cough in America, which has these huge areas of whooping cough outbreaks, or England, where measles outbreaks are epidemic, and in Western Europe as well.
Well, we've lost the generations of people who remember what the fear of polio was
exactly,
like.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, my grandma had polio.
Okay. Yeah. My next door neighbor did too. He was walked with a cane.
But, you know, like 2 years after she got it or whatever, they came up with the vaccine. And so these diseases were basically eradicated.
Yeah.
And then everyone decided, oh, vaccines are actually bad for you, because they don't have any knowledge of what these diseases are like.
Yeah.
If they saw their kid with polio or
smallpox,
whooping cough or whatever, they would be terrified. They'd say, vaccinate the next kid. This one's a loss, you know, whatever. But
yeah,
no. I think it's like
it's hard on the kid too.
We've gone to the stage where like, what's the unhealthy thing to eat? It's like, well, I'll eat an apple. No, wait, that apple might have some chemicals on it. And is that a GMO apple? It's like, well, you can't. And if you're getting scared of putting an apple into your body, if that's freaking you out, which is what you're told now, the idea of like any injection into your body and into your child, I can see how you tap into that fear and go like, do you know what's in this? Because I don't know. And because that's all we're told now is like, do you know what's in your food and in your air and in your water and in your, no, I don't. I guess I shouldn't put. Yeah. And so the immediate fear takes over from the, you know, long-term fear, and then horrible things happen. This is my embarrassing measles. Embarrassing measles anecdote, okay. And then we'll go. I'm 13 years old, and I could not be nerdier. Like,
this where we take a drink?
Yes, feel free. And so I'm like, just greasy hair, bad skin, horrible. And I asked my parents, I'm like, did I ever have measles? And they say to me, oh yeah, you did when you were two. So, but if you're thinking, oh, that means I'm sterile now, well, you better still wear a condom, mister. And I'm like, and the idea that there was even the most, first of all, that I'm having this talk with my folks, and it was at breakfast, and like, they're both there, and they're like, yeah, watch it, buddy, I know what you're thinking, pull the fast one to the old, I have measles, so I don't have to, no way, I'm just trying not to get beat up walking out the door.
Right. You said, do you guys know how gross vaginas are? That's what I said to my parents.
Am I right, ladies? I don't know why I said that to my sisters who were there. No, they weren't in the room. But it was just one of the most embarrassing. Like, I just went as beet red as the rest of my skin and just left.
It's like
I'm never having a talk with you again about anything ever.
It's like your parents are waiting for this little, like this little wedge, like this moment to introduce this. Like, they couldn't do it themselves. They couldn't bring it up themselves. But you introduced it enough that they could like wedge it into
Here's
the conversation.
Here's our opening.
That's right. Let's get the condom talking right now. The thing I was going to say about anti-vaccine people are worried about that is what's weird to me is then they will have unpasteurized milk. Like they're worried about vaccines, but then they're like all part of this raw milk craze, which is even is scary to me too. I there's a British comedian named Frank Muir. He wrote a great book called The Complete and Utter History of Everything. And it's a fantastic book. If you ever see it somewhere, I really highly recommend it. He also did probably the best collection of British humor called the Oxford Treasury of British Humor. But
not a very funny name.
No, but it's really good.
All right.
And because you don't want
Saved
a silly
inside of that book.
Do you want a silly name for a book?
Yeah.
If you're buying, like, then you
run one by me, and maybe you're getting Oxford Treasury of Humor and Wit. Oh, that sounds great. Let me. Oh, yes, indeed. It's
funny. But, you know.
Me, get ready to be slapped.
Yeah. So thing is that when he was in World War II, he was stationed in, I've heard two stories. One, he was stationed in the Channel Islands. The other one, he was stationed in Iceland. And he got tuberculosis of the testicle from raw milk. Once I read that, I was like, nope.
Tuberculosis never. Of the testicle.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That's a thing?
Yes, it is.
You're safe.
He lost.
Let me take that worry. off the table.
And
the
goodness.
The reason I know this is because he was on a game show, and one of the other people on the show called him diabolical, and he said, no, I'm monobolical. It's quite good. He was a witty fellow, is what I'm saying.
I'm assuming this was a game show in later years and not in the 50s, because then that show gets taken off the air.
I think it was the 60s.
Really?
Yeah,
60s. Good for that show, making testicle jokes.
Yeah, why not?
Well, it's
British. The British, come on.
Well, I think just in general, we're scared.
I think you summed it up.
Yeah. We're scared of death. And how do I not die?
Yeah.
Okay, here's what's going on.
Yeah.
I eat food
that's
from the earth. Okay, all right. Yeah, you gotta die.
You can't die from that.
Juice is good, right? Yep. And vegetables and fruit.
But except, what if it's unpasteurized?
All right, well, let's not even talk about it. This is the thing. It's like you think like Earth is good. Yeah. Science is bad. Because science, well, it's chemicals. Chemicals are bad. So that's where it comes. So I'm not going to put chemicals in my body, but unpasteurized milk. Well, that sounds... It's a gift
from nature itself. Yeah, pasteurized milk is science.
Yeah.
Terrible.
And science wants to
mess
you up.
Louis Pasteur joke with his putting his own name into the process as well.
Yeah. I got this fluoride in my water, and now my teeth are good.
From Louis Fluoride.
Were all scientists named Louis?
Yes. Yes.
Now, when Louis penicillin Einstein, came up with.
Louis Salk? Guy who cured polio. Speaking of polio. You know what's interesting about polio is that it didn't really exist, like in, say, the Victorian era and stuff like that, because it actually came from exposure to feces. I'll just put it that way, to human feces. But before, like in the Victorian era,
my grandma rolled around in shit.
Well, she was exposed to it in some way because what happened, like, you know, we were pretty much exposed to it all the time. People were dumping it out windows. It flowed down the street. It was everywhere around us. And then we invented sewage pipes. We moved it all underground and you know, water closets, you know, and toilets and things like that. So everything was all clean and, you know, no one was exposed to it anymore. And so when they were, there's polio there. And it's all like, hey, these guys, this is a couple generations on. These people, haven't been exposed to this. So here I am. Hello, everyone. So then there's this huge epidemic.
Huh.
Yeah, so it was really just one generation.
So your grandmother was too clean.
Yeah, too
she
clean.
She wasn't rolling around in
she
enough
was not
shit.
Rolling, not rolling around enough. Well, no, it's not that. I mean, she and two other people could have been rolling around in the shit. Only one of them would have got polio.
I've got the same
way you could have someone smoking and only one of them get
cancer. I got a friend who has adopted two older children.
Okay.
And she was saying, like, you know, we're talking about the measles outbreak. And first of all, they've had the shots, but they've also
that's good.
They had such a rough life
that
they've been exposed to everything, and now they're basically immortal.
Yeah,
you know, to almost nothing. You know,
and
there's a lot of dirt eating there as children, and that actually is pretty good for you. So
no, it's fine.
Just eat like a handful of dirt and don't go to the doctor. Is what I'm saying. That's my advice to everybody out there.
My advice is talking to the microphone, Mister.
Okay. Jeez, I'm the one soft.
Quit turning your head.
All right.
I keep trying to convince people at work that we shouldn't get antibacterial soap.
Yeah, no, don't have that.
Yeah.
Bad for you. Terrible.
It also does nothing.
Yeah. But bacterial resistant strains or antibiotic resistant strains of bacteria, that is what's going to kill us all.
Yeah.
And you're also putting it into the water system.
Yeah.
I mean, and it doesn't work at all unless you hold it on your hands for a minute, basically.
Oh, is that
and
right?
And you're not.
Yeah.
So forget it.
Well, you're supposed to sing happy birthday to you three times, right, when you're washing your hands.
Here's the one that, like, drives me nuts is the...
Do you have to pay the licensing three times?
Yes.
Every time
that's
you wash
your
hands?
That's the only problem with it. But that's the thing, like, from people... I've heard this from people who work in elderly care homes and stuff like that. They do wash their hands and sing happy birthday three times to themselves because you want really clean hands if you work.
It's funny if you sing it to yourself while crying a little bit.
Happy birthday to me.
Oh, don't sing it. Don't sing it.
Or sing it to yourself in the mirror like Marilyn Monroe.
While softly rubbing your own hands.
And use your own name. Happy birthday, David Dedrick.
Stop it.
We're gonna have to pay for that. The soap they've got now, which is the antibacterial one, where you don't touch it, you put your hand underneath it.
Yeah, that's the craziest.
Well, it's like, why do you worry about having dirty hands right before you wash your hands? Like between then and then, are you gonna rub your eyes and then like go for it? Like that makes no sense whatsoever.
What I really love are there's so many people who are now conditioned to have automatic paper towel dispensers and automatic everything.
Yeah, yeah.
When they get into a bathroom where nothing is automatic, they're lost.
Yeah.
Like there's this whole generation.
Like a wizard who's lost his powers.
Yeah.
Hey, there's Magneto, do you know how to how to get that going? That's a little hand crank on the side.
There's a whole generation of youth who like Yeah.
It sounds like I'm making it up, but I saw someone last week who was in a bathroom that has faucets you turn and was waving his hand underneath. And it was just like, it really did look to me just like, poor superhero. He doesn't.
Yeah, he doesn't know what to do. I was just thinking they would really confuse them, that old fashioned one with the cloth that hung down that you'd have to pull on to pull to the next strip.
Yeah. It's good for if you want a little to hang yourself in the bathroom. It's good to have that there.
It's good to have them in prisons. And
well, yeah, they're always in truck stops. So, yeah, you can kill yourself.
It's a natural place for. When life has reached a point that you're actually in a truck stop, this is here for you.
Now, here's the one thing that I really do dislike is that you got the hand sanitizers here. Well, I'm all for hand sanitizers, but you got
and ham sandwiches.
Sure, unrelated topic, but random things. What's that disease where you say random things for no reason?
Aphasia.
Yeah, there you go. A little aphasia. So it's the one where you got to push a thing, and then a little hand sanitizer comes out. But like often they run out. And I'm like, okay, now I've touched this. And I've touched the thing that a person has touched who's gone, my hands are so unclean that I should use this. Now we've all touched this. And now my hands are super dirty.
We've all touched everything.
Yeah, we've all touched everything.
But it's like,
I don't understand the worry anymore.
I see what you're saying.
You see,
are you in a hospital? Are you in a hospital doing this?
Look, the one thing, I have actually in a hospital.
That's the one place I could see worry.
Right. And then I also sometimes lick it for no reason, but it's just a compulsion I've got. Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
The saltiness. Oh, boy. The saltiness makes it.
Anyway, back to measles.
Back to measles. That is the best segue ever.
But I will say one thing. I'll say too much, frankly. We got medical insurance to come down here to the States.
Are you going to say too much, did you say?
No. Well, actually, here's what happened.
Okay.
So my wife, Pia, she goes to get the medical insurance and from a jerk. There's a jerk insurance guy.
Oh.
And it's the guy we get our car insurance from, and he's a real jerk. And so anyway, she gets the thing.
I think you can call him a dick.
All right. And then she, a bit of a turd, as they'd say back east. And so she's going back and she's getting into the elevator and she goes, that guy's a real, real piece of business. And, I don't look forward to getting my car insurance from him. When is our car insurance due? And she was like, was it last week? Yes, it was. Oh, shit. And we're not. That was not fun at all.
Really? Did he give you the gears?
Gave her the gears. Couldn't get the insurance because it was like, oh, you got to go through AirCare first.
Oh. Okay.
When's that close? In like 10 minutes.
Oh.
So she had to try and go. Got the 24-hour insurance.
Let's just say in British Columbia we have emission standards and they're enforced by people having to go to an AirCare center. It's called, where your car's emissions are tested and your gas cap as well for leakages. And if you fail it, then you have to insure your car for a lesser amount of time until you can pass the test, and then you can have your car insured for a full year. But cars that are new don't have to take it for 5 years, and cars that are newer that still have to take it only have to take it every 2 years. The outrageous part of that is that it's for 1 year. It's $24 to have your car tested. If you have it every 2 years, it's $48. Why am I paying twice as much for the same service? Can I just come every year then? It just feels like a waste. Like,
so we had to pay the $48 and the thing was closed. And
it was closed?
It was closed. And so we had to get like more emergency insurance because we're going to have to drive down here.
Sure.
And it's so much money. And no one's paying me still. And it's like, we're not like your Image Comics where you actually pay people on time.
Man, yeah.
Again, 4 out of 5 jobs I've got are just not paying.
We're the best.
4 out of 5 jobs have not paid you.
I've not paid me.
Including
right now.
Sneaky Dragon.
Yes.
Once again, checks in the mail. Okay. Checks in the mail.
Wait a second, the mail service isn't going to be working against... Oh, I knew that old trick. No, you guys are looked well upon at the Image for, smiled on. People walk by and go, give a little nod.
I just want to point out that Brandwood is entirely responsible for that as well.
Well, you are near the money. You know where the money is.
Look, all I'm going to say
is... She can swim in the vault. That's all we can say.
Before I started working there wasn't a Walking Dead TV show.
Boom.
There wasn't Saga.
Boom.
There wasn't our staff has doubled.
Boom, boom.
Since then,
well, most of them are your minions. You have to admit that most of them are there to serve you.
Sure.
The grape peeler, the put in the mouth, the grape in the mouth putter.
Right.
You know,
I was going the peeler.
Yeah, the grape peeler.
Hired strippers.
The person who peels the skin off the grape.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then the other person who puts it in Brandwood's mouth.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that all of that success is because I joined the company.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying that.
Success did happen after I joined the company.
Absolutely.
That's why you're on the show, is because we know who's responsible for Image. What we're saying is we have a great idea for a comic book.
Okay.
It's all about two guys doing a podcast.
Whoa.
Oh, here It'll was something great. I wanted to ask you when we were back in our beard discussion.
Okay.
Are there any, aside from, well, no, he doesn't even have one anymore. Are there any bearded superheroes, whether in the Image world or anywhere else? Because it seems like all the youth
only
now
when they're down on their luck.
All the youth now have beards.
Daredevil.
But like, if you're representative of the youth culture of today, do any, I know villains do. All villains are packing a beard. Like,
yeah, there's
no
some
business.
Great mustaches in the Invincible world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dad in Invincible, he's got a good stash.
Yep.
I actually love that their alien race basically just adopted the mustache and went like, yeah.
How do you know they adopted it?
Well, I think the culture, they all seem to have.
They might have introduced it here.
No,
because
the timeline. Oh, crap, what was his name?
Mustachio.
The leader of the Veltramites.
You can remember Voltramites, but you can't remember the name.
Right.
Is this like? But this
I want to say Thrag, but I.
Sure. Let's say Thrag.
I don't know.
Yeah, right. Thrag.
For the sake of argument, yeah, Thrag. What about him?
Why not? I want to say
he
it too.
He had a great mustache too.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of good facial hair.
Super grumpy, though.
Man, I'm glad we started grumpy. This thread.
No, I'm just curious. It seems like, you know, when you look at, like, you know, here's the thing. If you look in the 70s and you read a Legion of Superhero comics, everyone's got the mutton chops in the future.
Sure.
And everyone's got the wide collar and bell-bottom pants. And it looks like that's the era.
Because the future is cool.
But if you're reading comics today, is there anything in comics today that would look like the fashions and styles of today? You know, anyone have, I hate using the word hipster, but is there any hipster
Clark Kent wears horn rim glasses.
That's right. Non-ironically.
Kaboom.
Though he doesn't in the movie,
wrong
really.
Wrong company.
Wrong company.
But in
are we talking about one line?
Your Man of Steel movie. Yeah. No.
Wrong company.
He does not, you're in bad company when you're watching that movie. But like, he doesn't until the very, very end. Then he puts on the glasses and you're like, there's Johnny Hipster. But like, up to that point,
didn't he
no
have
glasses.
A beard in that movie?
Yes. There we go. Asked and answered. Thank you very much. You're right. He goes for the beard, and then he has the glasses.
But that's during his down and out phase. Like, so did Daredevil.
Well, he couldn't shave.
Daredevil
he didn't
had a
know
beard.
How to shave.
Daredevil had a beard in that Frank Miller 4 issues when the David Mazzucchelli.
Oh, Daredevil with a beard.
Yeah, that was what it was called. The Daredevil with a Beard saga.
So good.
So awesome. Like, everyone who goes through a down and out period grows a beard.
Well, that's one thing about the beard. It's more difficult to have a secret identity.
That's right.
With facial hair, I think. Like, because you have the facial hair in both identities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you had an elaborate handlebar mustache in real life.
Jason Bourne doesn't have a beard.
Jason Bourne doesn't have, that's right.
Wait, does he have a secret identity?
No, but he blends in. He has like 9 different passports
you don't
with
think
different
that
names.
A person, okay.
He has plenty of secret identities.
You're in Portland. You got a beard. You don't blend in. Like, that seems like,
but
if you're the clean-shaven guy, you're like, hey, who's that guy? Must be, that's that superhero
he looks
guy.
Fishy. No,
I don't want to blow your mind, but there's probably not a lot of secret agent happenings in Portland. I'm just saying, I don't think you need 9 passports to move around Portland.
I'm telling you something. Let me just pitch something to Brandon right now.
Okay, you pitch something to Brandon.
You gotta have, like, some kind of comic cabin in Portland. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that's, come on. Yeah? Portland. Super,
no. Please,
super in Portland.
Please don't. Please
no,
don't.
There.
Nope.
You know, I mean, we had that era with a lot of superheroes in Seattle. You had your Green Arrows and whatnot happening around here, a bunch of that business. But I don't think, I think that's untapped territory.
Well, a lot of our creators do live in the Portland area.
Sure. But Green Arrow was here just taking care of the heroin problem. The Seattle thing.
Or causing it.
Or causing it. With his shooting things into people. Oh, there's very much a symbolic metaphor.
We understand how that all went.
See where I went there?
Now, did you like superheroes before you were editing superheroes? Or is this a thing?
Yeah, yeah. I think we've talked about this before that I...
the hell with it then.
I was, you know, indie stuff.
Yeah, indie stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Image first started, I didn't like Image.
No.
No.
Not even Image.
And what was the turning point then for you? What was the one that like kind of hooked you and you went like, oh yeah, that might be for me?
I think it was actually The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was working in a comic book store and Comic Relief, and I read the first 4 Walking Dead trades in one sitting. I mean, I was waiting for PG&E to show up, but yeah.
So you had no lights in the store?
No, this was at my house.
Oh, okay. So you had no lights at home. So you're just sitting by a window reading.
Yeah.
For trades.
I was kicking it old school with the sun.
I hear you. With the sun. Had a candle beside you.
Yeah.
Kicking it old school.
I was just wondering with that, because I always like This is something I like putting out here is like, if you, because a lot of people listen to this do not read comics.
Uh-huh.
And if you just walk by a comic shop window, what? You know, it'd be,
yeah,
it'd just,
I feel
too
that
intense,
way.
You know?
I feel that way.
It's like how I used to feel walking by a record store window, you know?
Is that,
like,
is that
I'm
how
sure
felt?
There's a lot of goods. Yeah, they like walk by Odyssey Imports in Vancouver.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I don't know. And you don't want to go in and ask because you feel weird. And so yeah. You want to like, know, all right, what's your good entry point comics? So you're right. Walking Dead's a good way to go about it.
Well,
you know,
I think with
Saga's crazy, but a nice, you know, way to go in.
Yeah. I mean, if I think if you start at the beginning of that, you'd have more luck. And, I think with records, it's different because, you know, whether it's stuff at Odyssey Import, which where we grew up, there was college radio, a university radio station that played that sort of stuff. So you would hear records on there that you liked. So then you would go to Odyssey and search out that song, that record, and either buy the single or buy, which cost, you know, $7 or buy the record, which cost $15 because they're imports from England. And, you know, so then that's how that was your in, you know what I mean? Like you didn't just go by blindly and, you know, whereas comics, it does feel there's no real, it's hard to find an entry point to comics nowadays, right?
Well,
there's
your
no,
entry point, like for me,
maybe
was
the movies,
a TV show or a movie yeah. you liked. Then you went in, and like I assume now with Walking Dead, people watch the
sure.
TV show,
yeah.
go in, where do I start yeah. with the first trade? And the trade looks a lot like the series, but it's different
yeah.
enough that it makes sense. And
there's
there
lots of different ways you can buy it. You can buy it as a big giant collection, or you can buy it in smaller trades. It's up to you, like how you want to
approach
it.
Well, there was the whole controversy with Eric Stevenson's speech at
Eric Stevenson, the publisher of Image Comics?
Yeah, at the Comics Pro meeting recently.
Okay, and what did he say?
In his speech, he was trying to make the point that when it comes to things like Star Wars comics and relying on
licensed products
stuff to bring in new readers.
Like a particular, like a company whose name initials would be DH, for instance?
Sure.
Okay.
DH Lawrence's.
DH Lawrence's company.
Yeah.
His Lady Chatterley's line is not
doing
very
well. He was
just
trying to say that, yes, somebody who likes Star Wars may go and pick up the Star Wars comic,
yeah,
but that comic is not Star Wars the movie, the first thing that they fell in love with.
Yeah, yeah.
And people have twisted what he said to say that Star Wars comics aren't real comics. It's not what he said. He
said
it's
they
not
weren't the real thing.
The real thing, meaning the movie Star Wars.
Yeah.
And
I can see that.
I think for most people, Star Wars fans who like the whole Star Wars universe, the movie is still the first love.
Yeah.
And
the first movie.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That was his point.
Mm.
But a lot of people chose to, think a lot
of
people intentionally chose to twist what he said.
Well, because there's...
Well, it did seem... Okay, I got to take a little issue on that. Because when I was reading that, because I write, you know, I write the Simpsons comic, uh-huh. right? So, and I have heard that from other publishers, like, well, it's... Eh, it's this little lot. But, you know, but then to me, you know, there's, you know, the amount of people who have come up to me and that's how they learned to read was like with that
yeah.
comic. And that was their first comic. That was their first entry point. And to me, when I started reading comics, I read Spider-Man because I saw a little bit of the Spider-Man cartoon. But then that was my entry point. It was my hook point. And yeah, how it was said was that these weren't the real thing. And it just felt like, these are the aside things. These are the, and for something like I know a lot of people got hooked on G.I. Joe because of the comics, and that got them into comics. And for them, like the G.I. Joe or Transformer comics are stronger, are the thing more than the TV show or the movies or whatever. But like, I can see how it was, if you're saying misinterpreted.
Yeah.
You know, I can see how they were taken. It felt like a little bit of a pew pew to IDW. And boom.
And yeah. you know. And Dark Horse and all the companies that do have a major licensing arm to their
are our competitors.
Yeah.
And the thing is though about,
are they competitors though? Like for real?
They fill shelf space, so yes, they're competitors.
You know, we all share the same market.
Yeah.
It's the same market, but it feels like it's so like Image is doing very well now. But like I think comics as a market are, you know, generally shrinking, you know, from the past. And like, to me, like, that's only going to build an audience. Like, to me, the people who are buying the My Little Pony comic probably would not be buying, you know, comics that are out there. You know, normally that is their, oh, I'll give comics a try. And maybe that might hook them onto comics and that kind of thing. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like it's
comics market is actually growing.
Good. I'm glad to hear
yeah.
that.
Yeah. No, it was shrinking for a long time, but the last couple of years it has been growing. If you look at sales reports It's been up the last couple of years.
Well, it definitely, I mean, and that's good because it's in a major creative phase right now where you have innovation happening. Because it was dying, you know, you had publishers looking for ways to innovate, to make it grow again. And so we're seeing this explosion of creative talent, this explosion of interesting things happening that aren't just superheroes, but things that are like Saga or Walking Dead or whatever you want to use as an example of things that fall outside that. That as people realize, my God, we're creating this horrible little tiny niche category that's only interesting to people of a particular age, of a particular type of person.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've cut out huge swaths of the population that have no interest in this kind of inbred, you know, interested in itself situation.
Well, that's, I mean, the mainstream comics isn't like a Marvel or a DC.
Yeah.
You know, I've become very, very fanficky with that kind of thing.
Oh, it's totally. I mean,
if you cannot pick one up and go, I understand it, even though it did just start from scratch. But something I found, like, in comic book stores is the owners don't get the, like, My Little Pony selling like crazy.
Yeah.
They know that the sales are through the roof.
Yeah.
But they're like, I don't understand.
Yeah, well, they're still part of the old thinking.
Right, but it's like, there's a new audience that's coming in.
Yeah.
It was the same thing with manga. When, like, manga was selling so well, it was like, I don't understand it, but I'm ordering it.
Yeah.
I've got to for the bottom line, but it's now... There's stuff in my store that I don't get, and a lot of people that start comic stores start it because they're fans and they just want to have the stuff that they like, and that's not a good business model.
Yeah,
2 points. One is, I like when you say that, when manga was selling so well, and now it's not selling that well because the market was oversaturated, because companies are desperately looking for ways to bolster their bottom line, you know, grabbed onto this manga boom and just completely milked it till it was dry, rather than creating a situation where it could blossom and become bigger. They just completely murdered
it. They're going for quantity over quality.
Exactly. So they're bringing in tons of titles and manga.
See also baseball cards.
Manga, you know, takes some dedication.
Anything else that takes over, like,
that's
a comic
right.
story.
Yeah. Manga takes some dedication. You have to be dedicated to spend $20 a book to read like a 32 book series, you know, like trying to read like 20th Century Boys. After a while, you're just like, this is not going to end. I'm just throwing money down a hole and it's never going to end. Like, let's find a good end point here. This ends here for me. I'm not going to continue reading. I mean, I did that with it as well. And so I think that's interesting. And then, I can't remember what other point was. I got so excited about it.
Okay,
then
I'm going to go
back.
Well,
I do want to go back to one thing.
Please.
People who work at Image are comic book fans. You know, we don't only read Image books.
Mm-hmm.
There are... Yeah. You know, we go into the comic book store to see what other people have published, and then we buy them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're not, I definitely don't want to see any other publisher go out of business. You know, I have friends who work at other publishing companies.
Sure.
But the fact of the matter is we are competitors.
Mm-hmm.
To some extent.
You're
so
a competitor.
That's all I meant
yeah.
by that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, and ideally...
I want to just go one thing quick, which is like, and it wasn't, you know, when I read the speech, it was like, yeah, that's fine. It didn't bother me, but I did get that it was like, okay, and it's like a little Coke making fun of Pepsi, zing, you know, well, Pepsi's going to zing back.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I kind of was like, surprised at the outrage. Well, it's not really outrage. It's just, I mean, it's the mildest outrage I've ever seen. It's like, hey.
Oh, no, there was a lot of outrage.
Was there actually outrage?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Internet outrage.
The internet is always outraged.
What I was going to say, though, about comics
was...
Nothing
wrong with a bit of that. It gets people reading.
It seems like counterintuitive that the best comics were written by a bunch of grumpy old men who didn't care about them. You know what I mean? Like, the best the comics that come down to us that we love were written by a bunch of guys who were like, it was definitely not their first choice.
And drawn a lot faster.
yeah. The guys who worked hard, you know, put the time in, you know, and... most of them, like most famous cartoonists, all seem to have served in World War II, and then with their GI money, when they got out, they had the GI Bill, like let them go to school, all went to some like art school and learned to draw, and then they just started working in comics somehow. They just kind of fell into it. And that, you know, and the people that we think about and talk about now, and the series that we love and the ones that we acclaim, it just seems kind of odd. Whereas, you know, I feel like a lot of the stuff from the 70s and the 80s, when the fans started to write and the fans became part of that doesn't really come down to us the same way, you know, it doesn't. I mean, obviously there's some series that people will still love.
Though when you're remembering talking about all those guys, you know, there was a lot of comics that were published. And you're remembering out of 1,000, you're remembering 10.
Yeah.
You know, so you're...
Not necessarily 10, but yeah.
You know, but there's a lot of, like, you know, Black Mask and The Web and the this
yeah,
and
yeah,
the that.
Yeah, sure. There's that element
and
too.
And True Boys, Crime, Adventure, Clubhouse.
There was some dross, but I just think it's interesting. But the thing about it is,
I'm bring that one back. I think that's public domain now.
Those comics were not published by fans. You know, you'd think that when the fans took over the store, then it was going to get better. Do you know what I mean? Like, now we're serious. Now we're going to have some serious stories. We're going to really treat this like an art form.
I'm a fan, but that doesn't mean I should be drawing a comic book.
Though I think those guys you're talking about were fans, but not of comics, obviously,
yeah.
But probably of pulp novels or something else, or, you know, a movie serials.
The old guard, you mean? The old guys?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking Star Wars. You know, I mean, and that was people who were fans of the serials. And so they lifted things from the serials and borrowed and reassembled.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always been a fan mix, you know, all the stuff that we
well, love. Star Wars is an example of something that should not have succeeded, but it somehow did. And more because of the quality of collaboration than because of the originality of thought. But something like, I just think it's kind of an interesting thing that, you know, when the fans took over the business, it kind of lost something, whereas when it was a bunch of grumpy old guys was chomping on cigars, you know, putting in their hours and working for no money. I mean, those guys made nothing, and they didn't have like a con circuit they could go around on and sell their original art and do convention sketches.
I bet if we talk in like 10 years, and God help us if we're still doing this in 10 years, I bet you will look at like right now as a bit of a golden age.
I think so. Oh, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But because we went through a doldrum where the market was collapsing, you know, and... You know, either you're going to sink or you're going to swim. And by swimming, you mean innovating. And so you're going to have this burst of creativity as people are desperately searching for the next thing. And so they're trying this or trying that. And so out of that, you have all these new and interesting different things that come out of it.
I mean, and when you're talking about things that shouldn't succeed, Saga shouldn't succeed, except that it's amazing and fantastic. If you just pitch the idea, well, it's a guy with a TV head.
Yeah.
He's got horns and they're traveling in a tree and they're going around. Like, what the hell?
It sounds crazy.
Spoilers, everyone.
Yeah, there's a tree. That's the spoiler.
That's the spoiler.
And like the next good thing will be an idea that comes from you know, developing something in that same way, not ripping off that idea, which I'm sure I'm looking forward now to all the Saga knockoffs, which I'm sure will be coming down the pike.
Yeah.
A lot of tree related
stuff happening.
That's what it is. That's the secret.
It's the trees.
It is the trees. No, I think it's
the happening.
It's always been a good time to make comics, but yeah, it's an exciting time. And you guys got a good company.
I think so.
What Ian's asking is, do you have a job?
No, I'm good.
Do you pay?
He'd have to get up too early.
Oh my gosh.
The commute would kill you. That's a long commute.
That is one of the benefits of being a writer for a living or whatever. It's just like that. Yeah, this doing this con thing and having to get up for like breakfast and whatnot. It's like, oh my Lord, you guys do this, huh?
Yeah,
that's
crazy.
Do you like mornings though?
I don't really think of myself as a morning person or a night person.
Mm.
I don't know. I used to be a night person.
I see you as nightclubby. Yeah. I see you as rock and roll. I see you. You know, I'm writing something at night at 3 a.m. You respond immediately.
She's already on the show. Quit sucking up.
I know, but then like 7 a.m, there you are too, and it just feels like you're eternal. How is this possible?
Well, here's how you tell if you're a night person: is if at 9 o'clock at night you have a burst of energy that can carry you through later on. If you're tired in the midday and you like you wish you lived in a country that had siestas, then you have a kind of night person personality.
Okay, yeah, I wish I could take siestas.
Yeah, if like. My wife, Lisa, she is definitely a morning person. Like, she dies at 9 o'clock at night. That is it for her. Like, if...
Okay, yeah, I'd say I'm a night person.
Yeah. So, I can take it or leave it. I have to get up at 6:30 every day to go to my job. I start at 8 o'clock in the morning. And today, you know, I went to see Ian's show last night. So, I went to bed around 1 a.m. And then I was up at 6 to help get Lisa out because she had to go back to Vancouver today. And so, you know, I'm up. I might as well go to the gym. So I went to the gym and ran there for a while and lifted some weights. And, you know, and then I went and pigged out on food. So it's kind of a zero-sum day, actually, when I think about it. But I don't mind that. It doesn't kill me. But I would love, you know, to have that siesta time. Because around, even at work, if I'm working at work and I'm doing, like, paperwork, I can fall asleep while I'm working at around 3 o'clock. Because I just, my body's like, okay, time to shut down. Time to, you know, we'll just go to sleep for a while. And 9 o'clock comes, Dave, and you will have some energy, buddy. I will feed you some energy.
You just drink massive quantities of caffeine like I do.
Yeah, I don't drink coffee.
Well, there's other options.
Yeah.
Are there?
There are Red Bulls.
Scary.
There's Coca-Colas.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
It seems like methamphetamines.
There you go. Now we're talking.
It seems what I'm hearing now, teeth. And we gotta wrap up pretty soon, but it seems like what I'm hearing now with businesses, the new thing is nap rooms.
Really?
Which makes sense to me because you don't have to pay anyone anything.
I brought a recliner into work. I've only... I've only closed the door and closed my eyes for like 10 minutes once because I always feel so weird about it.
And you feel guilty.
But I mean, we're allowed break times. Yeah. I could, if I want to close my eyes for a few minutes so I'm refreshed.
Yeah.
But I have this stupid work ethic. Yeah, where I'm like, I'm at work. I need to be getting stuff done.
Exactly. And it's a completely fake idea that you're being more efficient when you're working when you're exhausted. But yeah, that's a... No, well, where I work, you know, as I've said, described before, my boss follows me around and turns out the lights in every room I leave.
Because she wants you to nap.
Because, no, so I just don't think the idea of me introducing the idea of napping would go over too well.
Yeah.
Because she's one of those sort of people that if you are doing anything that's not, doesn't seem to her to be like work, then you just get this total feeling of guilt from her.
Oh, nightmare.
And the sigh person. She's the sigh person, you know?
Yeah.
I had a job where I would...
Oh, you had a job?
Yeah. No, at lunch, I would eat lunch and then go out to my car and nap for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I had a whole hour.
Yeah. Those were during your party days. I
didn't necessarily want to talk to any of my coworkers. and then I was refreshed for the afternoon. Yeah. And my boss gave me shit about it.
Oh.
And I told him, as long as I'm not doing anything unethical or illegal, you can't really tell me what I'm allowed to do on my lunch hour.
That's right. Yeah. Sleep is not illegal unless you're driving a car.
And so what I had to start doing was move my car around to the other side of the building so that my coworkers wouldn't see me.
Okay. And that kind of having to hide stuff from you, that's just now you've tainted the whole workplace and it all sucks.
Yeah.
Now, as a business owner now, don't do that. Like to your employees, like have a little nippy nap room there, you know, for people to have a little snooze, you know.
There is and a please nippy
call
nap
the,
room.
Yeah, please call it the nippy nap room. Yeah.
Would it be nice? A little nippy nap room?
Nippy nap room.
You know, you could even like make it game themed.
Sure.
I don't know what kind of games.
You don't want to play games when you're trying to nap. That sounds counterproductive.
Yeah, you don't want people rolling dice while you're trying to have a nap.
Yeah.
You're out.
So now you're telling people
you're fired from the company.
But listen, we've gone too far the other direction now. Oh, okay. Well, we'll check back in another year.
Yeah.
And see how the business, if you've driven it into the ground.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
You know.
We'll see how successful.
Apparently my brother's doing pretty good.
Games of Berkeley is the name of the store.
Games of Berkeley in Berkeley.
And if all your Dungeons and Dragons supplies can be purchased there.
Puzzles.
Four-sided
chess,
die.
Stuffed animals.
Ten-sided die. 20-sided die.
What's that game everyone loves now?
Settlers of Catan.
Well, we have that, but no, the biggest seller is...
Oh, apples to apples. No,
I know.
I'm way out of date.
Yeah, it's like
Messiah
apples to apples.
It's a religious game.
Why am I
Cards against humanity.
Oh, yeah.
I draw a blank on the weirdest
There's improv versions of that now all over. Because it's... And bless the people that I know that are doing it.
Yeah.
But it's the laziest thing you can do in the world. Because basically the game writes the jokes for you.
Yeah.
You just go on stage, act said jokes out, people go nuts, and the Cards Against Humanity people give you free cards because they're like, oh, you're just basically doing an ad for our game stage for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Please enjoy some more cards.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, learn from that, apples to apples, as you're dying on the vine while this takes over.
Apples don't grow in vines.
Yeah.
I want to point that out. Everyone.
Whoever hops on
apples. Thanks, David.
Apples don't grow in vines.
Thank you.
Where do they grow, Dave?
They grow in bushes. Apple bushes. We've all heard of those.
Okay.
Well, thanks for listening to Sneaky Dragon, everybody.
We're ending on that, eh? All right, that's fair.
What's that story?
No, everything's great.
Yeah,
okay. No, couldn't be better.
What?
No, nailed another one.
Talking to me?
Bam.
Bam.
She's not coming back next year.
Bam, bam.
So we appreciate your final appearance on the show.
What else am I going to do in March?
I don't know. Manage your store?
Yeah.
Once again.
Do some work.
Terrible business person.
she could be having a nippy nap right now if we weren't bothering her.
Doesn't that sound nice? Go off having a little nip nap?
I love the name. I'm so into it, nippy nap.
I say like just a little bowl of cheese nips right next to you. So you wake up, you're a little hungry, and there's a little salt.
Once again. Delicious. Okay, when you wake up, that's... Yeah. I don't know, even if that, it doesn't sound that appealing. But okay, if you like cheese nips, good for you. People, thank you for listening to our show. We appreciate everyone who listens to us. Please visit our Facebook page for stupid things that we post. We go to the website and there's stuff there. You can see some title cards that I do, and you can also buy t-shirts there. And I'm going to be putting some new t-shirts up pretty soon because I finally have wrested control of the computer from my daughter. And so that's everything for this week, I think.
Except for one more time, if you want to make a donation.
Oh, that's right.
At thecrossroads.org/ Branwyn Bigglestone 2. They'll put a link up on the site.
Go, sure, go to our site and there's a link there.
Because Branwyn Bigglestone.
Or right now,
try spelling that.
Tap your screen right now on your iPhone. Yeah. You will hyperlink immediately to there because you just said it out loud.
Cool.
If you say something and end with .com. Oh, I said .com now. Now it's going to link.
Yeah, I know. It's not.
Okay, go to sneakydragon.com and check that out.
Yeah, it'll be there.
And you can donate to Homeless Youth Alliance, too. Just Google it.
It'll be there, and it will be square.
Absolutely.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
What's embarrassing about chemo when you lose your hair is it's also a side effect of the cure for anal warts.